You may not see it yet, but you just remember what I said. There'll come a time when you'll just have to kind of stand in line to get a seat. And we won't treat you that way. I'm just telling you in your heart, you need to know that God's here. And you're privileged to be in His presence. Amen? Come on. How about an amen on that? There you go. Hallelujah. Boy, that sounded like a good little rumble there. Praise the Lord. I'm not ever going to guarantee you a show by God. But I'm going to guarantee you that God will show. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you gentlemen will come forward. One of the things I read in this children's church schedule is that I've changed the format of children's church. I felt the need to do this because of how we are growing. That's right. Now, there's a little challenge in there for you teachers. It says that you got to come up with your own material. Now, I want to put a little burden on you about material. Material is just not paper, scissors, Crayolas. It's some kind of theme. And I want to challenge you a little bit that you need to search God for the theme of your lesson. Not just how you're going to babysit. These are not babies. These are big adults. They're men and women of God that have just not yet arrived. And if you tell me you can't come up with the material, then we'll get somebody that can and you sit in there. Now, I promise you, there's not a class, there's not a lesson, there's not a sermon that shouldn't come direct from the mouth of God anyway. Let Him use yours. Let Him touch the children's lives through you so that you can see and know a blessing. Amen? If you need help, call somebody. Ask. But it's still going to be on your shoulders. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Father, we do take it as an honor to be able to give them to You. We don't understand why You ask us to do this, but we understand because of our obedience, we will be blessed. For that, we give You thanks, praise, glory, and honor forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That song was, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. So be it. All right, are you ready to receive the word this morning?
Yeah.
All right, Father, then you hear your people, Lord. You hear your people, Lord. They want to hear from you. So be it this morning. You said we're two together in your name. You would be there. Thank you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Move amongst your people today with the word by your Spirit. Heal, change, deliver. For these things we give you praise in Jesus' name. Little things will get started. Children, I guess you can go. I will remind you that we are growing. Seek God about what you can do with the growth. And in the growth. We're going to need chairs. We're going to need sound equipment. We're going to need more workers. I think God has put down a challenge for us to see if you can keep up. Y'all can say amen about that. There's a challenge. Can you keep up with Him? We've asked for it, right?
Yeah.
All right. I want to tell you that somebody has already given $1,500 for the soundboard. And it's going to take all of that and a little more. We need some more mics. Our poor soundboard, praise God for it. We bought it kind of at the beginning and it's done a good work, but it's we've outgrown it. We've got several things that, you know, it's strange what God's doing right now. The test, He's causing the growth. Do you know growth is the most expensive thing that can happen to you? Do you understand that? There's nothing more expensive that can happen than your business grow, or your house grow, or your family grow. And yet at the same time, God is allowing many things to wear out right at the same time. So what's our challenge? Do we believe Him or not? It's His deal. It's His business. It's His growth, right? Then let's trust Him to provide. If God asks you to do something, don't ask Him how you're going to do that. Ask Him how are you going to do that. Amen? All right. I've got a computer that's beginning to crash. God's going to have to step up to the plate on that, you know? We don't want to forsake the missions. We've got chairs we've got to get. We've got a lot of things to do. Y'all need to get excited about that. Also, the thing you need to do is hold this building up in prayer. I know that the enemy would sift us if he could. We acknowledge he can't, right? And this is ours. Let's take it. Let's stand here. It's ours. Let's drive the enemy back. Take what is ours. Amen? All righty. Now, I've had some requests about the last part of the Ten Commandment message last week. I guess you might call it the Stan's translation of the Ten Commandments. Well, that wasn't by notes. That was by the Spirit, and I have yet to hear the tape. So I'll have to get the tape. If you want to know what I said, you get the tape. Because I don't know what it is. I'm going to listen to it and transcribe it. But your assignment is to do that for yourself. Amen? All right. Please don't think that everything that I say is in this notes. Please don't even go there. That's why you need to bring a pen and a pencil. You need to be able to take notes. That's my direction for you this morning. We're gonna start the new statement of faith. This is number 8, not in order, but it's just number 8. And I titled it, You Must Be Born Again. Now, if you think this is an easy subject, then I'll invite anybody up here to explain. You can come up and explain, if you think this is real easy, what being born again is about. What happened? Whose idea was it? What is the direction? In you physically, what happened? In you spiritually, what happened? In the kingdom of God, what happened? And you'll find out that it may take you a lot longer than you think. The plan of God for redemption and salvation was much more complicated than most people think. It's not complicated to have happened to you, but it's very complicated for you to explain. You must become as a little child for it to happen to you. And then you must become a theology major, and it's beyond that to explain it. It's hard. But the Holy Spirit's going to make it easy for you. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit has asked you to be ready to explain what you speak. Amen? You know that, don't you? It would be all about us if it was just salvation and we didn't have to explain it. If it's about someone else, we have to be ready to give an account of what we base our entire life on. Hallelujah. Now here is the statement of faith. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now most of what I'm going to do this morning is you might just call it an introduction. I'm going to lay some basics down. Oh, by the way, can you hand those things out? Yeah, I nearly forgot. This will help you take or know what I'm talking about. Don't ask what book this came from unless you want my response to be the Bible. Because I didn't take it from a book. I have about 30, 35 of those, so everybody that represents a family or an individual by themselves, you can give one. If you're a husband-wife team, well, please share. But I'm sure there's enough anyway. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to listen. I want you to take notes. Then I want you to get the tapes. And I want you to listen again. At this particular moment, I'm not going to give you scripture for everything that I say. But it will come. Over the next few sessions, however long that takes, I will explain to you some way, somehow, what I'm saying. You should recognize a lot of scripture if you're well versed in the Bible, just in my statements. All right. Number one, I'm going to tell you, listen to me, you can read along with me, but don't read ahead of me. You won't get what I need to say to you. One of the things we have to do is change our way of thinking, change our presuppositions, our made up mind about what being born again is. The first thing I want to challenge you with is Jesus didn't say, unless you be born again, you can't see heaven. So from the mouth of Christ, this is not about heaven. Being born again has nothing to do with heaven. It has to do with the kingdom of God. The enemy has allowed us to be sidetracked with the word heaven. That's all we think about. That's all we listen to. That's all we believe. And so everybody else can go to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. And Jesus is saying that's not what it's about. It's about the kingdom. Now. So let's change our minds about some things. I think you can start there with A. Here's the hardest one of all. The spirit realm is the only true and lasting reality. So everything that we listen to and everything that we hear, everything that we speak must be filtered through spirit and not flesh. So when Jesus said being born again, He was talking spiritually and He was talking about a spirit thing that would happen that would change your flesh. Not changing your flesh so that your spirit could change. I'll tell you what, somebody that's truly born again from a hard life, don't look to see it in their flesh right off. Give it a little time. But you can, I'll guarantee you, you'll begin to hear it from the Spirit, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will begin to speak different things than ever before. If that doesn't happen in us or those that we look at, maybe we need a, as the old timers would say, we need another dip. We need a touch from God. B, we are flesh ruled by spirit, not spirit ruled by flesh. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, be born again. There was a man that asked Him, am I going to re-enter my mother's womb? He said, aren't you listening? Why do you take my statements to be speaking to flesh when I'm talking spiritual things? See, all of our understandings must be rooted and grounded in spiritual equations and formulas, which is the Word of God, not flesh and man formula, which is man's sciences and studies. Once again, all of our understandings must be rooted and grounded, foundationalized in spiritual equations and formulas. And I'm telling you, when the Bible makes sense, but it, you know, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes I get these instruction booklets and this thing's got to be put together and I read the first page and throw it away. And then I can't figure out why it didn't turn out in the back. And that's what happens to many of us. We determine, God puts it on our hearts and we determine to read the Bible. We get a few chapters done and we get busy. We get half the book done and we get busy. We don't see the whole picture. And this is such a detailed book that you must read it more than once. And then you must read it more than twice. And then you must slow read it. And then you must fast read it. And then you must read the assignment that the teacher gives to you on a daily basis. According to the Spirit of God, you must read and study His Word according to how He says. And when you begin to do that, you will see the equations and formulas that work. I promise you, in your math book, you never looked at it one time. I got it. I got it all the way from 2 plus 2 to astrophysics. Oh yeah, that's what Christians want. I had somebody tell me, and that somebody's been a failure ever since I've known her. But she said, man, when I was born again, the Spirit of God filled me with the entire Word. Well, He missed the part about study to show yourself approved. I guess He missed that part. Our daily study of the Word, our daily meditating on the Word, opens up the equations and the formulas. That's what everything we believe must be rooted and grounded in. D, our life goals must not be to provide for the flesh, but to provide for the eternal, the Spirit. Hardest thing in the world until you get to doing it. You wake up in the morning not to eat breakfast. Man doth not live by bread alone. You get up in the morning not to go to work because Jesus is our provider. You see what I'm saying about flesh being before spirit? I mean, spirit being before flesh. Most of us get up in a rage and a rush. We hit the alarm and we hit the shower and we hit whatever donut or whatever we're going to hit. And then we hit the car and we finally get to work or whatever. Maybe after a couple hours, we remember to say, oh, thank you, Lord. And we put flesh completely first. And I'm giving you a lot of leeway there. Some of you don't even hit it. Some of you forget this is the day the Lord hath made. My whole goal today is to rejoice and be glad in it. We don't look at things and say, thank you, Lord. I was so thankful the other day that little Mackenzie was, she was in a, just like all kids, she was in a bucket or a basket or something, and that thing went over and she missed the corner of my sharp coffee table about that much. And I mean, it would have been a whip effect. And you just go, and when I went, out of my mouth came, thank you, Jesus. I give praise that that's in my heart, that I didn't say something stupid. I didn't take a hatchet and chop up my coffee table. I didn't get mad at the kid and scold her for being so stupid. Our life goals must not be to provide for the flesh, but to provide for the eternal, the spirit. E. Our now and eternal goal is not heaven, but the kingdom of God. Can I tell you something? I'm going to say something that would probably floor most charismatics, especially Pentecostals. I'm not interested in going to heaven. I have no desire to go to heaven. I got too much work right here, right now. Right here, right now. When I get ready to go to heaven, it's going to be my last breath. Until then, I want God to keep me busy. There's other people out there. There's other churches. There's other things that need to be learned. It's exciting about the kingdom of God. I still have a lot to learn. And I'm excited about that. F. The only way to salvation is through Jesus. No other man. No other priest. No other blood. No other mediator. No other name will work. In fact, any other is mutiny. You know what the sentence for mutiny is, don't you? That's right. G. Salvation does not come through a physical work, but through a spiritual work of obedience. Jesus died to please the Father. That was an act of obedience. We will die to self to please Jesus and the Father. That's an act of obedience. We will take up our obedience cross and follow Jesus. You know what's going to happen? The flesh is going to follow. Everybody thinks that their flesh picks up a cross and follows Jesus. Baloney! If you're going to stick with that equation, how does a quadriplegic follow Jesus? We got to question our theology sometimes. Our testimony. What if a mute? How does he worship God? This is a spirit thing. Our spirit takes up our obedience cross and follows Jesus. And I guarantee if you'll make that happen, your flesh will follow. It'll have no choice. H. God is the only judge of all works, spiritual and physical. Now, what did I say? God is the only judge. God is the only judge. God is the only judge. Which one of you did I leave out? I'm going to tell you all, and me too. God is the only judge. I don't need your opinion. I don't want your opinion. I want God's opinion. Because He's the only one that counts. Let me remind each of us. We'll remind each other. Nobody's going to be standing next to me, and I'm not going to be standing next to nobody when it comes judgment day. The accuser is gone. He's been chained up and cast out, and he's not there anymore. So if we have an accusing spirit in any way, shape, form, or fashion, you might be the one cast down. Let's stop it here so we won't have to experience that there. You see me do something that you don't like? Tough! If you got bad thoughts about me or I have them about you, let's get them under control. I don't want to be called the accuser. Right? My salvation is not... Hey, look at me. Did you know that my salvation is not based on whether you saw me born again or not? That's right. You know where it happened? In the men's restroom. So you couldn't be there. That's what happened with me. In the men's restroom. What am I saying? You have nothing to do with my salvation. I have nothing to do with yours. All the rules in the world that I can put down, they have nothing to do with you or me. So if you see me break one of your rules, you better get it right. I, listen to me carefully. Salvation is not a one-time work. Redemption is a one-time work. Jesus did it once, and He don't intend to do it again, so don't test Him. There's a Scripture that warns against that. Salvation is not a one-time work. Redemption is a one-time work. But salvation or overcoming is a lifelong marriage. You and Jesus and work. Believe me, if you don't think Jesus don't work at you guys, you are mistaken. So you might as well figure on working for Him just a little bit. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for working. It's based on an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not based on an intimate relationship, you and I. That can be an outflow of it, but it is based on an intimate relationship between you and Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. What do you mean by that, Stan? Nothing else will do. You can't buy your way in. You can't work your way in. You can't preach your way in. You can't even testify your way in. You can do all the signs, miracles, and wonders in the world, and it won't get you in. That's biblical. J. The work of Jesus on the cross was for redemption. Paying for all of your past, present, and future. I'm talking about the redemption. What Jesus did in His lifetime. I wish I wouldn't even talk about the cross so much. In His lifetime. Do you understand His lifetime was the cross? You don't believe me? What if that had been two mules pulling Him apart? What if they had decided to tie Him between two mules and pull Him apart? Was that what we have on the wall now? It was His life. It was obedience, and it was His giving life for you and I, giving to the Father for you and I. That's what it's about. I'm sorry. I want you to think about what Jesus did. Let's tear down the idols and tear down our goofy thinking, and let's remember that His whole life was crucifixion. That's how He can say to us, take up your cross and follow Me. Redemption was paying for all of your past, present, and future. Listen, it opened the door for an intimate walk with Jesus. A walk of wisdom, freedom, health, abundance, revelation, discernment, and understanding. Listen, it opened the future for you and I. And your lineage. There was no hope for you and I, and there was no hope for your lineage. I'll show you that in a minute. When He paid the price, and we agree with that, when we enter into that paying the price, it opens the door for our freedom, our children, our children's children, and on and on. Okay. Jesus' payment moved you from the book of eternal debtor and death to the book of life, ruler, one who reigns. You are now one who reigns with and in Christ Jesus, not of the world who are slaves to sin. The born again one rules over the dead ones. Are those not yet born again? Come on, that take you further than you want to go? Come on, it's not enough to talk about me ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus until I establish what I rule. I must rule me, and then I must rule those that come against me. How has that happened? How can that be? Don't know. You need an intimate relationship with Jesus before you know. I can tell you that that's the answer. I can tell you when He gives a picture, when He begins to stroke you and tell you who you are. I've told you this before. My wife and I got married one time. She openly proclaimed that I was her husband. But I was not her husband until she openly proclaimed that. Just because I said so didn't make any difference. I can go up to her all day long and say, I'm your husband. I don't know if you know her well enough, but that don't mean squat. Until she says so. When I have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, I can yell and scream and I can write it on my bumper in my windows, Jesus Christ is Lord. But you know what? It's not real. It's not real to me until He begins to stroke me and says, thank you. I love you. You understand what I'm saying? The intimate relationship starts and all of a sudden your words become true. You know in here now they're true. That's why we've got so many flaky Christians is they never enter in. We'll go further. L. The Word of God woos us unto salvation. Our being born again, which if you look at the notes says, sons of God, we become sons of God. How? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, woos us into that position. The trouble is, many of us think it was our idea. We are deceived. It was God's idea. And He placed us at the right place at the right time, or somebody else And I don't know what happened. We just joined God. Most of us don't even know why we did it at the time. In fact, old Paul, he says, I don't know what in the world. I was sitting over there in the seat and all of a sudden I'm up front. I don't even know what for. The Word of God woos us into salvation, our being born again, our becoming sons and daughters of God. Then the Word of God directs us into the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus, a place of ruling and reigning, which makes us now not sons, not only sons, but heirs. The Bible directs us plainly that He doesn't just want sons and daughters. He wants heirs to His throne, heirs to the kingdom. You know how you know back in this time when this was written, do you know how you become an heir to the kingdom? You had to be the firstborn. Son. Why do you need to be in Christ Jesus? Because you don't look like the firstborn, son. Especially if you're a daughter, it's hard for you to understand. But let me tell you something, when you move into Christ Jesus, you become the firstborn son. And you become heirs to everything that God has ever spoken and wanted. He spoke the world into existence, you become an heir. He spoke all the abundance into existence and you become an heir. He did it by His power and you become an heir. Praise the Lord. Salvation is not just for us. It is not hell insurance. I don't want to reach people by scaring hell out of them. Jesus Himself said, come, let us reason together. Let the Holy Spirit do any scaring He wants to do. I don't care. I don't care if He turns everybody ghostly white and their knuckles fall off, squeezing the bench in front. I don't care. That's fine. But I'm going to speak the Word of God, who God is, who Jesus is, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I'm not going to plan a mighty scheme. I'm not going to have the pianist come up at a certain time on the organ and begin all the little music that causes people to... Hey, listen. You don't want to go to hell? You want to go to heaven? You get serious about God. There's my presentation. Holy Spirit, you got a big word. Salvation is not just for us. It is not hell insurance. Salvation is for the King and His kingdom. Preaches for as long as I've been alive, all I've ever heard is it's all about you. Jesus died for you. No, He didn't. He died for the Father.
Right.
And He said, now you take up my cross and follow me. You die for the Father. Unless you be born again, you can't see the kingdom. Now take up your cross, get born again and see the kingdom. Move into it. Sign up. An army of one. Our salvation must reach others or it is not salvation. Selfishness is not of God. If it is all about us and what we get, it is wrong. I don't care if He calls Himself a minister of God. If He presents it to you in a way that this is all about you, He's not representing the true kingdom of God. In redemption and salvation is what will cause us to grow continually from glory to glory until we reach and continue in a walk with God in the cool of the day in His garden. The walk is designed to lead us out of the flesh now and for eternity. Now, did I veil that so you couldn't understand it? Redemption was to pay the price that you couldn't pay. Salvation is an ongoing thing that is supposed to draw you from a place to a place. Salvation is not a one-time event, and I'll show you that easy in the Scripture. Salvation is ongoing. Before long, I'm going to show you that salvation, Isaiah 53 shows you your salvation healing all in one bunch, and there's no separation. You're not allowed to be saved and not healed. God has a bigger plan for our salvation than we do. The picture I'm trying to paint there is that God wants us to get closer and closer to Him until we're fellowshipping with Him in the cool of day, as Adam did in the garden, on a constant basis. That no weapon at that point can ever be formed that will come against us. I just keep my eyes on Jesus. And one day, I wake up and I realize that there's no accuser and there's no weapon anymore. The Bible says there's no death to those that have been born again. So I shouldn't be looking forward to my last breath. I should be looking forward to the surprise that I get when there's no more accuser and no more weapons. And I'm going, whoa, this feels good. What happened? I won't have to ask. John 3, 7 and 8 says this, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." What do you mean, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit? Well, my salvation is like the wind. You know it's there. You can't see it. You know it's there and you can't see it. No, but you know what? I don't know if you've ever seen a whirlwind, but I'll guarantee you can be standing out in the middle of a field. You know the wind's blowing, you can't see anything. The whirlwind starts and I guarantee you, you better duck. Doesn't make any difference whether you've got an explanation or not. You better hold your hat. And anything you got laying around, you better set on it. Because that thing that you can't understand is fixing to rob you if you don't get prepared. It's fixing to touch you in ways you haven't been touched before. I don't have to explain it. This is what the Scripture says. It's not up to you to explain. Because I'm telling you, if you're born from nothing, and people look at you and say, "I can't explain it," you just look back and say, "I can't either," but you know, you and I both know it's real. Best testimony I can have. I'm not here to explain it to you. If you don't want to believe it, you just stand back and continue to watch. God's going to do something. God is doing something. God always will do something. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go on a little bit longer. I'm going to take you back to the beginning. There's no way to get to the end without the beginning, right? You know that, don't you? You got to read the first part of the instructions to get to the last part, right? All right, in the beginning, number one, Adam and Eve were walking, fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day. God was telling them, just like He's telling us, what will help and what will hurt. Don't do this, do that. I'm doing this for your good, trust me. Another voice came along. The voice came along and said, "Look, what do you believe in that clown for? He just wants what you got. He's afraid you're going to find out what he knows. Don't listen to him. Look at that fruit. It looks good. Smells good." Adam and Eve were deceived. God was hurt. Sin, rebellion, mutiny, and death. My way over the right way. The world was created without sin. Adam and Eve brought in sin. They sinned, rebelled, mutinied, died to the only true God. Number two, the sin caused a death sentence on them. The sin caused a death sentence on their lineage. There was no remedy. Listen to me carefully. I wish that the church would teach this stronger. When you disobey God, there's only one remedy, and that's death. That's why the Bible says if you knowingly sin, you crucify Jesus afresh or again. I'm not going there. We need to scare our children. We need to scare each other. Let's don't go there. Because I think Jesus is a lot bigger than you and I think He is. And I think if we pick a fight, we're going to lose. I don't want to try to crucify Him again. He said once, "No man takes my life, I lay it down." And then He said, "I ain't laying it down again." We should be smart enough to know not to arm wrestle with Jesus. I remember what happened to the soldiers that came up and wanted Him. A little before time, they lost. This death sentence was passed on to Cain and Abel. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully. The children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, all they did was reenact their parents' act. Because they took death upon themselves through sin, they had nothing else to give their children. Cain and Abel, what happened? Cain killed Abel. But you know what? That wasn't the main emphasis in the Bible. If you'll read that story, what happened? What really set things on edge? No, y'all went too far ahead. Just within the next few verses, his blood was spilled on the earth. We tainted the earth with sin. And then we covered it with the wrong type of blood, dirty blood. And that means the only way to wash that away was new blood. Had to be spilled on this earth. How do I know that? Because the command of God was to take pure animals and spill the blood. Something had to pay that. The earth was crying out for more blood. More blood, more blood. Am I making sense to you? Or am I just, you just going, blah, blah, blah. Come on, listen, I'm trying to explain why Jesus shed His blood. Why animals had to shed their blood. It was to cover that blood that had already been spilled, that death that had already been put into this earth. More blood, more blood, more blood, until the only one that could pay the price, Jesus, shed His, spilled His. You, Cain, killed Abel. You. The first was Abel. The second was Jesus. Your name is still Cain. It was your sin that did that. Let's don't do it. I know you didn't have any choice. I'm not trying to accuse you. It's already happened. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Let's honor and respect the work that's been done. Let's give glory to God. Let's give honor to Jesus. That at least God was smarter than us. He figured out a way to remedy this thing when you and I couldn't figure out a way. He opened the door to redemption and being born again. My goodness. Number three, for a season, the blood of pure animals was enough to cover the death sentence. You know what this blood was doing? The same thing that happens when a man is sentenced to death in our penal system. There's an automatic appeal. You don't have a choice. When a man in this United States is sentenced to the death sentence, he doesn't have to make a plea. There's an automatic plea. And there's an automatic plea. And there's an automatic plea. That's why it takes 10, 12 years to do this. There's an automatic plea until it gets to the final court. Now you and I, this is the picture I'm trying to show you. For a season, there was an automatic appeal. And there was a blood to cover. It covered up the evidence, if nothing else. Just look at it that way. And there was another automatic appeal. And finally, there was no more appeal. So this was the end. There was only one thing that could happen. There had to be a payment. It was us or him. It was us or him. And Jesus said, not them. Not them. I'll pay the price. Now no longer. Listen to me. You all know what double jeopardy is? Well, we were removed. How do I say that? How can I say this to you? The first Adam, you and I were killed in Christ Jesus. When He died for mutiny, we died with Him. Now we can't be tried again. The only thing we can do is go out and commit another crime. But I'm promising you, if we don't commit another crime, there is no such thing as double jeopardy. We cannot be tried twice for the same crime. Are you hearing me? You better hear me. This is straight from God. He's trying to explain it to us. It's not in my notes, so I know it's from God. Four. Jesus, at the request of the Father, came to earth as a man. He set a life example of how we can obey God's wishes. Did you hear what I said? He set a life example of how we can obey God's wishes. Then He bore the bruises and stripes. After living a perfect life, He bore bruises, stripes, shed His pure blood to pay the debt that man could not pay. Listen to me, this payment released all that would believe. It didn't say it released all. It said it released all that would believe that there's only one God, one ruler, one that is right, and that if we want to continue our life, we must give it to Him. What happens? What does the Bible say that happens to people that try to save their own life? They lose it. You going to figure that out? You going to be Adam and Eve and try to figure it out? Or are you just going to believe? We no longer have to sin. I hate the religion that says we have to sin every day. It is a lie from hell. We no longer have to rebel. We don't have to commit high treason against the loving God. We can and are free to serve the right and righteous God for eternity. Number five. We being given the opportunity to be birthed or born again into a new creation, a new creature, are released from the sin curse of death and have Jesus' bloodline and genes in our veins. We are released from the death world and born into a spirit life and world far above all principalities and all powers. We now live in the gene pool of God Himself, not tainted by sin. Now as God formed man and breathed into him the breath of life. So it was done again when Jesus died. He said, I'm going to do it for you one more time. Die. Lay down and die. Trust me. Die. What are we trusting? Trusting that He'll breathe into us the breath of life one more time? Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, it's not going to work for you because you're not trusting Him. Lay down and die and try it. Just give up. Stop trying to understand and just believe. You want the gene pool of God Himself? You got to trust. I'm going to cover this next category and then we're going to have to quit. How can this be? How can what we're talking about be? Listen, I know y'all are just enthralled with my beauty and my special speaking talents and all. I know that. But I know you still might have a question. How can this be? Why? You should have this question if you can't explain it like I just explained it. If you're not ready to explain it that way, it's all right to say, how can this be? We must know that, number one, through repentance. Repentance is the act of admitting we have sinned. Now, you know, everybody in this room has already been touched by the Spirit of God about this subject right here. Everybody in this room has already been touched by this right here. I can promise you. God is my witness. I know that. You were reminded, not so that you can be accused, but so that you can draw closer to Jesus Christ. Repentance is the act of admitting we have sinned and wish to change, not do it again. This opens the door to redemption and being born again. Redemption is what Jesus did. Born again is us taking the redemption. Everybody wants to call this a gift from God. It is not a gift from God. It was a gift to mankind for the taking. If you think that God ran you down and stuffed being born again down your throat, somebody's taught you the wrong gospel. That would be a rape. That would be a shotgun marriage, and it's not going to happen with Christ Jesus. He's going to gently woo and gently talk to you, bring you flowers, bring you chocolates, whatever it takes, but He's only going that far. He will never force the issue. It has to be your choice. The door is open. If we want salvation, being born again, we will take it by force. We'll take it. If you want to be healed, we'll take it. It's not going to be crammed down. Don't pray for God's will. You already know God's will. I came to seek and save those that were lost. That's everybody. That's what I came for. Now, what are you here for? That would be the rest of that statement. What are you here for? Oh, man. I'm telling you, serving Jesus is good. It's exciting. Whew. I have to kind of keep weights in my feet sometime. I've got to know that it's the will of the Father for me to be saved, healed, redeemed. I have to know that. Does everybody here know that? If you don't know that, you need to talk to God. God wants you more than you want Him. Probably the hardest part of this thing to understand is God wants you more than you want Him. I will remind you, you know how much He wanted me? He paid Jesus for me. He wrote a check on Jesus' life for me. You're not going to tell me I'm not worth something. I won't listen to you. I won't listen to anybody that talks about you that way. I know what it cost. Y'all can just hoop once in a while. It's okay. Yeah. And you know what? Just in case you forget, He saw all of your sins before He ever talked to you the first time. So if you think you've done something that's so bad, then you need to understand He's either still talking to you or He's not. Make the determination. And if He is, and I know He is, then you couldn't have done anything too bad. You got to know it's the will of the Father. Number three, you got to know that Jesus paid the price. It makes a good sermon. What I'm talking about makes just a real thrilling sermon. I know y'all just got goosebumps all over you. But do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe that Jesus paid the price to remove everything that's come against you? You got to believe it. You got to believe it beyond anything else. You got to know that Jesus paid the price. All that was, all that is, all that ever will be needed. He paid it for salvation, healing, and all provision. Thank God that Jesus wasn't a patch job. He wasn't a Band-Aid. He was the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. It's all taken care of. All we got to do is believe. Knowing that God, that's number four, we got to know that God, through Jesus, the hard work has already been done. Well, you don't know what I've been going through. Well, let's keep it that way. You'd probably embellish on the story anyway. You'd probably make it bigger than it really is. You know what I know? I know that Jesus said, my burden is easy and light. I know that's what He said. So if you're telling me that your walk is hard, you're calling Jesus a liar. And I'm not going to believe a thing you say. I'll believe you when you start telling me about how much Jesus did for you and not how much you're having to do for Him. The hard work has been done. And now all we have to do is listen and obey. Sometimes the smarter we get, the dumber we get. The smarter we get, the more we think we have to not obey. We can outthink and we can outtalk. That just means we're getting dumber and dumber. We don't obey commands that are difficult, but loving words that bring life. It's in your notes there. We obey loving words that bring life. By the way, anybody in here want to be smart? Really smart? Well, I'll tell you what. Here's how you'll know if you're smart or not. If you're going the opposite way of everybody else, you're smart. If you're wearing the same clothes, talking the same jive, wearing the same haircut as everybody else, you're dumb. How do you know that, Stan? What gall you have? No. The Scripture says that wide is the road. And the big is the gate, and many go that way. That's the majority. My people are peculiar. They're following this little road towards a little gate, and there's not very many going that way. In case you think I'm peculiar, not enough. I want to be more peculiar. I want to have a peculiarity contest between you and I. I want us to be in competition in Christ Jesus to see how different we can be than the world. Listen to me, I want to be against everything the world is for. I want to be the honoriest, most cantankerous person in the face of the earth when it comes to God's way or the world's way. Why? Because I want to remind you that Jesus stood up boldly in front of the entire world and said, I know what you did. I take it. Now don't do it anymore. He wasn't ashamed of us. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Number 5, knowing that His path for us is easy, we've got to know this, and whatever load we carry is light. Number 6, we've got to know His purpose for us is great. We've got to know that His purpose for us is great. And it isn't just great for us, but for those around us, His will and purpose is great. You want to feel worthwhile? Serve Jesus and expect the people around you to be changed. Nothing should make you feel better than being able to touch someone's life with God. You've done the most important thing in the entire universe. You'll never do anything more important than touch someone else's life with the life of Christ. Never. Number 7, we do not have to depend on our limited minds for answers. Let me give some praise to God right now. I don't have to depend upon my mind or yours for an answer. That, I give God praise for that. Because I've seen some of the ways I think and some of the ways you think. Thank God I have the mind of Christ. But we have His mind for all situations. We are the only wisdom that is in this world. Are you hearing me? Come on, let's just get up on Jesus' white horse and ride a little while. We're the only wisdom in this earth. What are you saying, Stan? You want a statue? No. What I want you to understand is that there's a hungry world out there seeking for the mind of Christ, and you have it. And you have it. And so you can walk with your shoulders back because you're in Christ Jesus. And when something floors you, all you got to do is say, I don't have an answer. And He'll give you one. God, did you hear what they just asked me? And He says, well, of course, don't be ridiculous. I was right there. Here's the answer. Next time, don't ask. Just answer. Don't ask me if I heard. Of course I heard. I'm omnipresent. I'm omniscient. Number 8, we must know that we know God. I'm telling you, for anybody in here that aren't sure that they know God, it's time for you to know. I'm telling you, there's no way that you can cry out to God and not have Him answer. And please, whatever preconceived idea that you have about God's answer, throw it out and let Him answer. If you have a question, Can I tell you something? If you have a question about your relationship, if you have a question with no answer, you ask and shut up. And then from that point forward, that question is in your mind. It may not have to be the only one, but you've got it there, and pretty soon, you're going to have the answer. Just out of the blue. Out of an old dumb dog, out of a dumb person, out of a dumb tree, out of a dumb donkey, out of something that you didn't think had a mouth, comes an answer. Out of that person that you have the least respect for, comes an answer from God. Don't be mistaken, it wasn't from the person, it was from God. Never look at a man, they have nothing for you. We must know that we know God, that He speaks to us and that He listens to us, that He and I are friends. I got to know that. How many of you know that God's your friend? He's your friend. You know what a friend does? A friend gives you an answer, good or bad. A real friend, if you ask them a dumb question, they're going to say to you, that was a dumb question. That's God the friend. If you ask him a good question, he says, that's a good question, I'm going to give you a good answer. A good friend is one that I can say, I can hand my billfold to and say, would you go up there and get my brakes fixed? And when he comes back, I'm going to know he got the brakes fixed and he's going to give me the change. Now, are you a good friend? Can God give you things and ask you to do that with them? And you'll come back and say, I did what you did. And I made you some money. I saved you some money. Whatever that God lays on your heart. Number 9. Listen, here's the hardest one of all. We must know that we trust Him. Well, Stan, that don't sound too hard. I trust Him. Oh, yeah? Can I bring up the last trial? Can I play the tape of your response? And can I find out in that response if there was any trust in God at all? Or was it just your reaction? Before I can be a friend to God, I must know that He can trust me. How is the best way in the world to know that He can trust me? He gives you an assignment to see if you fail or not. He challenges you. He puts something in your way that you have to remove or move. Now, I can tell you this. I can take a house apart and put it back together. You know why? I know that because I've done it before. But the first time I ever tore into one, it was because I had confidence in Christ Jesus, not me. And then, after I did it a few times, then I have confidence in Christ Jesus and me. See, when God learns He can trust you, you'll start trusting you. And you won't say, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. I'm not dirty, and I'm not rotten, because God said so. I've learned I can trust Him, as He's learned to give me responsibility and trust me. And when you ask for growth, then you're asking for some more test. Not so that you can fail. I was talking to Eric on the way over this morning, and I thought his professors, whatever they are, they give him an assignment. I want you to go build, what was that they wanted you to build? A super heterodyne receiver. Now, whether he'd heard of that before or he hadn't heard of it before, it's now his assignment. You know what he first, this is the question I asked him. Do they ever give you things that you can't accomplish? Or have they already done it? He said, oh, they've already done it. My word. Now I've got confidence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God never gives us an assignment that He has not already accomplished. So it's not really up to me. It's up to me to find out what and how they did it, right? And maybe I can find out another way. Maybe God is just free enough to not be intimidated if I happen to take another way to get to the same answer. Maybe it doesn't bother Him if I don't use the King James to speak to you this morning, as long as we get to the same place. Will it not bother you if I don't do it exactly like you do it? See, it's not going to bother me if you don't do it exactly like I do it. Our goal is what God wants. Not to be afraid we can't accomplish it. I can do all things, right? Come on. I can do all things. Why? Because all I'm doing is following the path of what's already been done. Okay. We must know that we trust Him, love Him, and that He never lies and He never deceives. You know why we find that hard? Because we like to deceive. And we think He's created in our likeness and image. I always said, you want a formula for life? A man that cries liar, liar, liar is one. A man that cries thief, thief, thief is one. If you're hanging around somebody that accuses, 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 wait till you turn your back. My goal in life is to never deceive. Because my hero never deceives. Somehow, some way, he has found the way to do a heterodyne receiver, and I've just got to find out what that is. He can say something to someone without accusation. I need to find out that way. He can get things accomplished without deception. I need to follow that path. Number 10, he must know that he can love and trust us. He must know that he can love and trust us. He must know that he can love and trust us. We will act like Him, speak like Him, never deceiving, changing the world by using His words. When we begin to speak to the world, speak to each other with God's words, now He knows He can trust us. As long as we go out on our own and come up with our own formulas and theories, He knows that He can never trust us. If He says to you, trust me, and you say, yeah, but, He can't trust us yet. He told Noah, build an ark, certain cubit by certain cubit. You know what? I got a feeling Noah built it exactly like he was told. He didn't say, oh, God won't care if I make my living quarters just one cubit wider and longer. Yes, He did. Yes, God is going to care because He told you to do it a certain way. Well, I thought you said we could take... Yeah, some things you can. But if God gives you specifics like, I want you to build an ark, don't build a pontoon boat. If He says, I want it 400 feet long and 100 feet wide, don't make it 398. Don't make it 402. You won't be protected in that extra 2 feet. Do it like He said. If He says, go out and have some fun today, go out and have some fun. Don't question how much fun. If He wanted you to know that, He told you right off the bat. Right? I'm going to have to stop. Let me read one more scripture. I'm going to tell us how we're going to look at each other or how we're not going to look at each other after we understand. And I'm just now, here's my next question, what is born again? So you can tell how far I'm going, I've gone. 1 Peter 1:22. I want you to, we'll stop with this. 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have purified your souls, you get that? Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Amen. Let me make it real short and quick. Now that you've entered into redemption or being born again, you will purify the rest of your life with the Word of God. Otherwise, if you don't wash yourself with the Word of God, you're going to get stanky. You're going to stink. And every place you go into, people are going to smell you bad if you don't wash yourself with the Word. Now next week, we're going to start again with what is born again. We're going to start with what happens in you, what happens to your spirit and your flesh. But you understand this morning that everything is based on the will of the Father through Christ Jesus. Not on our will. We've got to start there. I'm not changing my theory. We start here that everything is based on the will of the Father in Christ Jesus. Now to expand on that, that's heaven and hell. That's heaven and hell, not just heaven. Can we understand that? So everything is based in Christ Jesus. Being born again is going to be based in Christ Jesus. If that's Mike, tell him hi. He was last Sunday. Praise the Lord. Our lives, let me say it another way. The life of the entire universe from beginning to end is based on the will of the Father. Whatever happens to us, you're going to purify your soul with the Word. or you're going to pollute your soul with your word, the word of those around you. It's the two choices. Since I know I'm not talking to a room full of people that aren't born again, you are born again. You're going to purify yourself with the word, or you're going to pollute yourself with the word from the world. Adam and Eve were totally pure. They were walking in the presence of the Father, being washed by the word daily. And all of a sudden they rebelled because they allowed a polluted word to come in. This is the simplicity of life. This is not complicated. Somebody comes to me and says, "Who do you think you are?" I will respond, "I am an anointed Son of God." They're going to say, "You're full of it." I'm going to say, "Yes." Would you like to be full of it? Nobody's going to talk me out of my salvation. Nobody's going to buy me out. God the Father is the CEO of this kingdom, but I have been made the president of this one. I may not be equal to the CEO, but I'll guarantee you he listens to me. He nudges me once in a while and says, "What do you think, Stan?" Right? Why? Because we're not just partners. We're friends. I know he's got the last say-so, and it doesn't intimidate me at all. Not one little bit does that intimidate me. In fact, I find that to be very comfortable. Hallelujah. Let the governor of our life be established on that theory. Everybody stand with me. Praise the Lord. How much did I get done? I got halfway exactly on the first installment. You're going to find it exciting when I begin to paint the picture of what being born again is, what that salvation and redemption word mean. It's a lot bigger than what we think. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as the one that spilled His blood for you, it's time to learn now. Don't let another day go by. Anybody in this place that needs to meet Jesus or know Him better? You can raise your hand if you do. If you're ashamed of Him, then we got that settled. I don't know. Praise your Lord. Well, then what you need to do is come forward. Don't be ashamed of Him. Just come forward. And you know what? It's not up to me to know what dirty, rotten sin you've committed or you haven't committed. What you need to talk to God about or what you don't need to be talk to God about. I'm telling you, the one thing that I don't like about church is that when you come forward, there's got to be a dirty reason for it. What nonsense. And if there is a dirty reason, bring it forward. Now nobody can talk about you anymore. Whatever the reason is, the answer's here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. God, I ask you that you speak to every person here today, including myself. I want to know more of you. I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your will for me and for this body. I don't know enough. I hunger and thirst after you. I hunger and thirst for an answer from you right now. Right now. Here's two people standing in your presence, Lord. They need you. They need you. God, I ask you to do something. Signs and wonder follows those that believe, and I believe. We believe. Father, I ask you to touch Johnny. Touch his mind, touch his motion, touch his will, touch his heart. Give him the heart to serve you. Give him the heart to understand you. Let him stop speaking from Johnny and start speaking from the heart of God. I don't want to hear Johnny anymore. He doesn't want to hear me anymore. Let us hear the heart of the Father through each other. Let that be established in Jesus' name. Let Carmen stop worrying about the future. Let her worry right now about her relationship between you and her. Let her know beyond a shadow of a doubt that her sins are forgiven now. Her sins are forgiven now. She has nothing anymore from this point forward to be ashamed of. She doesn't have to worry about a husband. She doesn't have to worry about children. She only looks to you for all answers, knowing that the answers is already there. That you care about her situations more than she does. Same thing with Johnny. That you care more about their situations than they do. That their families, their futures are in your hands, not theirs. That they have botched theirs in the past. Now they trust you beyond a shadow of a doubt. That you will lead and guide and care for everything that they care about. Knowing that you put the care in their hearts. They didn't have it from themselves. They got it from you. Let them understand that now. Let them know that their sins are forgiven through the one mediator, the one high priest, Jesus Christ. That they never have to seek another but you. Only you. One that sticks closer than a brother. Let everybody in this place know that now, Lord. Let them rest in it. Eat, sleep, think about you, Lord. Create a hunger in this body that is so strong that it causes wonder from those that are around. Teach us humility and the mind of Christ at the same moment. Teach us tenderness and braveness at the same moment. Teach us how to be like You, Lord. With all of our hearts, we want to serve You. We want to be one with You. We want to do Your will. This body will grow in Christ Jesus. Not just in numbers, that will be. Not just in finances, that will also be. But we will grow in spirit and in truth. That untruth, darkness will not enter this place without being touched. Whether it's in us or someone else, let that be established. Let us be that light on the hill that can't be put out. That light of truth and word and love and honesty in Christ Jesus. With all of our hearts now, we fall back in Your arms and rest. We take a breath of You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, for what has been accomplished in the kingdom of God today, in this place, we give You praise. We give You thanks. We give You glory. We give You honor. But we know that it's the tip of the iceberg of what's to come, because it's from You and in You and for You. We love You, Lord. Fall back and trust You. We do it in Jesus' name. Let Your word be established. Let man's words fall. But let You be established in this place in Your word. Let the earth shake as we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Your will. Your way. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Well, those of you that are heading down to help downstairs for the meal, feel free. Those that are ready to watch, stay up here and help us put away. We'll have work for all. Praise the Lord.